Today's first reading is from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 21, and can be found on page 1093 in the Church Bibles. The Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of the Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." This is the word of the Lord.
And please would you stand as Catherine brings us our gospel reading.
This is from John's Gospel, chapter 14. You can find it on page 1082. And it's verses 8 to 17. And Jesus is speaking to his disciples just before he's arrested to be crucified. Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip, even after I've been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Lord, as we explore your word this morning, may we come to know you better. May we be filled with the Holy Spirit, as the disciples were at Pentecost. May we hear your voice, and may I speak your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you ever made a promise or offer without thinking it through properly, and then regretted it? When I was at university in Sheffield, a group of us had the opportunity to come to London and to speak to the actress Maureen Lipman, who was appearing in a play in London. She gave us a very interesting talk, and then we were offered tickets to see her play that evening. However, many of us were concerned that the play would finish too late for us to be able to catch our train or coach back to Sheffield. Not wanting half the audience to walk out before the end of the performance, Maureen, or Mo, as we by now felt entitled to call her, although probably not to her face, was looking for a way for us to be able to stay the night in London and travel back the next morning. Somewhat rashly, she mentioned that she lived nearby and perhaps we could all come back to hers and sleep on the floor in her basement. I can only assume that she thought the idea of sleeping on the floor in the basement wouldn't be particularly appealing and that we would all probably politely decline the offer. However, I think she'd rather misjudge student mentality. Imagine being able to tell the story of the night you spent sleeping on the floor of Maureen Lipman's basement. How cool would that be? Sadly, I think she realised her error and hastily withdrew the offer. In the end, we managed to see the end of the play and still make it back to Sheffield that night, disappointingly. At first glance, you could be forgiven for thinking that Jesus had made a similar error of judgment in the passage we just heard from John's Gospel today. It sounds like one of those well-intentioned and generous offers that people make without quite considering how people might take advantage of it. I will do whatever you ask in my name, he says in verse 13. You can just imagine the disciples' eyes lighting up. Really? You'll do whatever we ask for? Anything? At this point, you might expect Jesus to realise that he's promised too much and start to backtrack. Well, I mean, within reason. I obviously won't do anything you ask for in my name. But, you know, I mean, some stuff I'll do. Definitely. But he doesn't backtrack. He says it again in verse 14. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. So there you go. That's a promise. And we know God keeps his promises. So we can ask for anything in Jesus' name, and he will do it. Great. Now, where to start? I think I'll pray to win the lottery this week. It's a tricky one. I've never bought a lottery ticket in my life, and I don't intend to buy one this week. So I'm at a distinct disadvantage. But you know, nothing is impossible for God, right? Now, I can tell from the looks on some of your faces that you don't think this is going to happen. But why? Jesus promised, didn't he? So what am I missing? Let's look again at what Jesus said. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. There are three key words here. In my name. In my name. Jesus is asking us to do more than just tag his name onto the end of our list of requests. So what does it mean to ask for something in Jesus' name? Names are very important in the Bible. A name is more than just a label to help distinguish one person from another. Names in the Bible tell you something about that person. They are just a description of who that person is. Jesus didn't say to Simon, I'm going to call you Peter, because there's another one of the 12 called Simon, and it's just going to get confusing otherwise. He said, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. It was a statement about who Peter was. God has lots of names in the Bible. Each name tells us something about the nature of God. So when Jesus tells us that he will do whatever we ask in his name, he is telling us that we need to know him. We need to know God. Because if we know God, we will ask for things that are in God's nature and he will do them. But how can we know God? How can we understand God's nature? Philip, one of the disciples, says to Jesus, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus seems saddened by this request. Don't you know me, Philip? He replies. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. Of course, we haven't had the experience Philip had of spending time with Jesus and watching his ministry firsthand. But we can still know Jesus through what has been written about him. We can still see the evidence of his works. And more importantly, Jesus promises his disciples that although he is going away, the Father will send the Holy Spirit to be with them, to be with us. And through the Holy Spirit, we can know God. We heard in our reading from Acts how the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were filled with the knowledge of God. Knowing God, listening to what God wants to say, Peter addresses the crowd and quotes the prophet Joel, who'd also listened to God. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. God poured out the Spirit at Pentecost. And God pours out the Spirit today. Allow yourself to be filled. Listen. Listen to what God has to say. Peter listened. He was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he listened to what God had to say. He spoke to the crowd, and they listened. He prayed in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And about 3,000 people came to know God that day. So the first thing we can learn from Jesus telling us that he will do whatever we ask for in his name is to listen, to know him, to know his name. The second is to speak, and to speak with authority. If a police officer asks you to do something in the name of the law, chances are you would do it. It doesn't matter what the police officer looks like. You don't look at the person, you look at the badge. If they speak in the name of the law, you listen, because the law carries authority. Similarly, Jesus carries authority. The Bible tells us of a Roman centurion who recognized the authority of Jesus when his highly valued servant became ill. But say the word, the centurion said to Jesus, and my servant will be healed. We may think that we are not important enough for God to answer our prayers, but if we pray in Jesus' name, we speak with his authority, rather than relying on our own. Today's service marks the end of our prayer event as part of the Archbishop's Week of Prayer for Evangelism. Since yesterday morning, various people have spent time here praying, in different ways, for different things. Others will have joined in with their own prayers at home. Thank you to all who took part. I know a lot of people don't find it easy to pray, but I would encourage you to try. There's no right way to pray. You don't have to be good with words. You can use your own words or someone else's. You can speak or write or sing or dance or draw or make something. There's lots of ways to express yourself. Or you can simply be quiet and spend time with God. But as with any relationship, it's important to spend that time with God. It's important to listen, and it's important to express your thoughts and feelings, because that's how relationships grow. Allow yourself to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Learn about God. Listen to what God has to say. Speak with authority. Pray in Jesus' name. At Pentecost, along with the other disciples, Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit. He remembered all that he had learned from Jesus. He spoke to the crowd with authority from God. He prayed in Jesus' name. And that day, about 3,000 people came to know God. This was Peter, the humble fisherman who always seemed to get everything wrong. There really wasn't anything special about him compared to you or me. But it was as Jesus had said. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Let's go out and pray in Jesus' name, for the world, for the people we care about. Pam reminded us last week of the strapline we use at St. Michael's. The words will be familiar to you. They're printed on our notice sheet every week. But it's good to remind ourselves. Jesus changes lives. Know him. Follow him. Share him. Amen.